You are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Stay tuned for the Heartland Labor Forum, radio that talks back to the boss.
Step by step along this march, can be won, many stones can form an arch, singly done.
Welcome to the Heartland Labor Forum, a weekly show of news, information, and commentary by and for the working people of Kansas City. This show is produced by a team of volunteers from a broad range of workplaces and unions and is sponsored by the Institute for Labor Studies at UMKC. The views expressed on the Heartland Labor Forum are ours and not necessarily those of KKFI, UMKC, or any of the unions involved.
Welcome to the Heartland Labor Forum. I am Jen Zaman, and I am sitting in for Judy Ansel, who is on vacation but will be back next week. Tonight's show is being underwritten by Construction and General Laborers 1290 and Teamsters Joint Council 56. Construction and General Laborers Local 1290 represents over 2,300 men and women in the construction industry throughout Kansas and western Missouri. Teamsters Joint Council 56 and our nine local unions represent 30,000 workers, retirees, and their families in western Missouri, Kansas, and Nebraska. We are proud to support the Heartland Labor Forum and their commitment to give working families a voice in the greater Kansas City community. And we thank our underwriters for their contributions to the Heartland Labor Forum and KKFI. On tonight's show, we will have a special broadcast of Waiting for Lefty, a play by Cliff Odets performed by UMKC theater students and faculty. And we will also have an interview beforehand with Lefty's director, Amy Billroth McClurg, who's a graduate student and teacher in the MFA department, the MFA program at UMKC Theater. Our feature at the end of the show is Know Your Rights with Angie Williams. We are going to be foregoing the news tonight so we can get the entirety of the play on air for you. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Tino Scalisi.
And welcome back to a special edition of the Heartland Labor Forum. I always say that it's a special edition, but in this case, I think that it's particularly true. First off, we're going to have an in-depth interview with Amy Billroth McClurg, who was the director for the upcoming play, Waiting for Lefty, by Cliff Odets. We're going to talk to Amy about coming from Seattle, Washington, moving to Kansas City to participate in the UMKC theater program. We're going to get her thoughts on theater, on working class politics, on stand-up KC, fast food workers, the actual play itself. And so we're just going to let that play. And then after that, please stay tuned for a Heartland Labor Forum premiere of Waiting for Lefty, the play by Cliff Odets. And thank you so much.
I came to Kansas City, Missouri for graduate school. I came for the University of Missouri, Kansas City MFA program in acting and directing.
So why Kansas City as opposed to some of the other, like why not University of Washington, why not, you know, like New York or Los Angeles or some of these other places? What was the determining factor or determining set of factors?
One of my requirements when I was applying to graduate school was that I go somewhere that wasn't going to require me to take out a loan. And I still might have to for this last year, yeah, just because of the a lack of availability for me to go and work a true day job or a true second-time job. I can, bring in some money, but I went to ERTAS in New York, which is this big auditioning process where you go and you audition in front of a room full of professors from different schools who all come to one area. They do it in New York, they do it in Chicago, and I think San Francisco. And so I did that, and then it's this crazy night of you go and you audition in a hotel room. You go and, if you get callbacks, to room numbers in the hotel. So the different school, yeah.
It's like the Bruce Lee movie Game of Death. You find
So you go and you get called back into different room numbers all throughout the hotel where the professors are. And so I was running around and I met Ted Sweats in one of the hotels there. And I'm sorry, Ted, but I remember walking away thinking, I don't know. I don't know about UMKC, but eventually we formed a relationship and Ted brought me out to Kansas City to kind of tour the city, mm-hmm, and that's what sold me on it. So it wasn't just the MFA program who have these incredible professors who I love and I'm learning so much from, but Kansas City is full of artists who are very unique and very driven and very passionate about what they're doing, and it's also very livable. So there's this wonderful balance of being able to focus on art because you aren't having to focus on just being a Lyft driver and fitting art in where you can, which is something very unique to the city. That being said, I've worked four jobs this summer to pay bills.
It's so affordable.
It's so affordable.
Your vision is being stretched so thin.
Yeah. Okay. Right, yeah.
So tell me about the typical day of, it's not theater all day long. What's...
So I have one school year left. So a typical day, we have a warm-up Monday through Thursday that we all do as a group. And then we go into our individual classes. And then in the evening, we will go into rehearsal for whatever show we're working on that night. So it's typically like in roughly 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. day, sometimes earlier. It depends on if you're teaching a class as well to the undergraduate students.
And is that something that you're doing?
I do. I get to teach voice. I love teaching. I adore my students. I learn just as much, if not more, from teaching because it teaches you how much you own the knowledge that you're trying to impart to somebody else and how much you're bullying them. And then in the evenings, we do like a 6 to 11 rehearsal normally. And then Saturday is like noon to 6, and then Sunday's our day off.
So in the off season, like say it's summertime now, that's where we're at now, so you mentioned something about four jobs.
I think everybody does something different. There are folks who are in shows. There are folks who take the summer off because we do have a grueling schedule during the school year, and they just take the summer off to relax.
And in your case, you...
And in my case, I'm a cook for the Cheesy Street food truck. I serve at the Buffalo Room. I clean for one of my classmates and best friends who just got married a little bit ago. And there's the fourth one in there somewhere. I got to teach for Heart of America. It was amazing. These students, oh my gosh, they were so smart. We were teaching a Shakespeare camp sort of about Hamlet to all different ages. Okay. My kids were mostly older, so I had a camp of 14 to, I think our oldest student was 19 or 18. Yeah, and they're so smart, so smart. But that's really, I think, what I love the most is teaching, and especially I love working with young students.
Yeah. Is there a certain, I don't know so much about theater, and for those of us or those in the audience who aren't familiar with, is there a certain type of theater or a kind of theater that you're interested in or that you're passionate about or that you're more well-versed in as opposed to other arenas in theater or no?
I mean,
that seems a stupid question.
Not a stupid question. It's like the number one question that people ask when you say, I do theater or I'm an actor.
Sure.
And they say, oh, what do you do? I'm like, yeah, I act. No, I really love contemporary work, but even more specifically, I love contemporary work that plays off of something that we would consider a classic. So Charles Mee does a lot of updating of Greek tragedies, and same with Luis Alfaro, who's one of my absolute favorite playwrights of all time. I think he's brilliant and passionate. Who else? There's a play that I'm in at the Unicorn in the November-December slot called Stupid Effing Bird. Won't say the middle word. By Aaron Posner, who's very intelligent, and it is a riff off of Anton Chekhov's The Seagull. Oh, it's great. It's amazing. Yes, it's really good. So I really enjoy contemporary work because I like listening to what people have to say today, but I like how it plays off of what was said 100 years ago or thousands of years ago because art connects us to our past. And so I think it's really, really interesting to see how people take the past and make it relevant to them personally in this moment.
Do you think theater is a dying art?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think it's up to me to decide that. Don't know. I don't think I have a problem with it if it is. I don't think I have a problem with it if it isn't. I'm going to keep creating it because I love it. And I think that it's something that teaches me and the folks in the audience about ourselves, and it keeps us connected. But I think that there is always space for something to evolve or change. Sure. And that doesn't mean it's a death. It just is a change, and it's a reincarnation. But I think that there's something in me, in the environmental part of me, that's like, okay, fine, let's get rid of books. Let's get rid of scripts. Let's get rid of the big lights that you need to have. I know, what blasphemy to have theater and get rid of the wasted gels and things like that and the wasted wood when we are done building a set. There's a part of me that hurts or aches a little bit when I go to a strike and I'm to see all of this perfectly fine wood getting thrown away. And so I sort of question sometimes, like, do we need it, even though it's my career?
Yeah, right.
My career depends on us needing it.
Yeah. Don't have a problem with something changing. And I am always impressed with folks who can predict a trend and see something coming in the future. But I think that as long as there are theater people alive and living and loving it, that it will be there.
You know, we're talking to the working people of Kansas City and around the nation who are streaming. Yeah. And I saw my first theater experience, and I didn't grow up around theater.
It's expensive.
I didn't grow up around theater
at all.
This
is the other thing.
I didn't even grow up around cheap theater, like crap theater. Like, I didn't grow up on any theater. You know, I ate McDonald's, and I watched television, and I mean, that was it. There was no ever mention of it. My father was a millwright at Ford Motor Company. My mother was a stay-at-home mom, a preschool teacher, and there was never any appreciation for it. It wasn't until I saw a production of 1984 in Los Angeles by the Actors Theater. The Actors Gang. And I saw this thing, and I thought, oh, well, I just wanted to see it just because I wanted to see it. And I was blown away. Like, when I saw the thing, I was on the edge of my seat. I know this sounds stupid and sounds cliche, but I was literally on the edge of my seat. And I thought, like, the out cue music as we were leaving, in addition to all of the great performance and the great direction and writing and all of that was fantastic. But at the end of it, they played a Rage Against the Machine song. And I thought people were going to rip up the damn seats. And
That's
there was
so
going to be
awesome.
Revolution and fire when I walked out of the theater and was surprised to see, like, a 7-Eleven. It seems to me that theater, and especially theater done very well, in speaking to these sorts of issues of justice and people's passion, has the power to transform. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, God, yeah. I think that's why we see so many artivists. It's like an artist activist.
Oh, I see.
Theater for social change. It's hard. I think it's really difficult for theater and storytelling to comment on a moment that we are currently in.
Sure.
So theater for social change. It can be difficult. Well, okay, you asked why can it be difficult to comment on the moment that we're actually in? I don't think it's impossible.
Yeah.
And I think it's necessary to comment on what we're actually in. It's a form of expressing what's going on, the inner turmoil. I think the more distance we get from something, the more analytical lens we can put on it and start to connect some of the pieces and connect some of the dots and gain. I mean, you have time to gain a lot more information, which is wonderful. But I think that while you're in a moment, it's cathartic to express it through theater. So I don't think that it should ever be avoided. I think it should be something, if we're going to talk about a specific moment, like Heidi Van and Roz over at the Fish Tank a few years back went to St. Louis to be a part of writing the Every 28 Hours project.
What's that?
It's part of the Black Lives Matter movement because it's based on the statistic that, or excuse me, the Every 48 Hours project. That every 48 hours, a black person in the United States is killed or harmed in some way by gun violence from a figure of authority, so from a police officer, typically, yes.
Sure.
And so a lot of artists, a lot of playwrights and artists around the United States, a lot of artivists were invited to St. Louis, to Ferguson, to do a forum and write one-minute plays. So it was very immediate, right? You're trying to get an immediate response out of the audience. And then they came back and they produced it. They produced it at OSF in Oregon. They produced it in so many different theaters across the nation. And Heidi opened the Fish Tank up to produce it. And I thought that was a beautiful example of bringing people into a room to watch a piece of art and put them all on the same level. To have a discussion.
Sure.
So I think that was one thing that is unique to the theater is that, like you were saying, with 1984, you have this moment where you're like, oh, I just heard a Rage Against the Machine song and everybody in the theater is with me and we're all going to go change the world right in this moment. We're going to walk out and everybody's going to be with us. And you walk out and you see a McDonald's and you're like, oh, never mind.
Aren't we all supposed to go into McDonald's and take it over and claim it?
Exactly. Let's go in there and let's
That's what I thought.
Rage for higher wages for the McDonald's workers. No, it's, I think that the most amazing thing that a piece of theater like that can do is put everybody on the same page to have a discussion or put somebody on the same emotional level or openness to have a community discussion.
Yeah.
So I think that was one of the more beautiful pieces of theater for social justice or theater for social change that I've seen.
And do you think that the community responded well? Were people angry?
I don't think people were angry. It might have been the crowd that came was very supportive of it and felt like they were represented.
Yeah.
Or if it wasn't them being represented, that something was being represented that they believed in.
Mm-hmm.
And So the next step is bringing it to a wider audience, or the question is, how do we bring it to somebody who doesn't want that?
Sure.
Because I know, for instance, there are season subscribers at, you know, large theater companies in Kansas City who will call in and say that they don't want to see a particular show because they think it has a political agenda that they don't want, and they just go to theater to be entertained. And there is that faction of audience members, and I don't think that should be denied, but that's not the audience that I want to work with, and that's not the audience I want to speak to. Or if it is, it's an audience that I need to find my way into, and to say, no, there is a part for you in sitting in the audience and watching this show.
Sure.
And listening to this story. And I want to show you that it should matter to you, or that it can matter to you. Or you can get up and walk out halfway through and my life won't have changed.
Do you think that that's a large percentage of the theater goers in Kansas City who don't want to see political theater, or they don't want to see radical theater? I don't know.
Kansas City seems fairly liberal as a city, but it is small.
Yeah.
Kind of feels...
Yeah. You can walk around the city, like all downtown in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very small. Uh-huh. But it's growing. And I don't know that that's the majority of the audience. I do think that the majority of any theater audience is typically older and white. And mm-hmm. I don't know if they're older, white, and conservative, or older, white, and liberal in this town.
Sure.
Or city, in this city. Whether the audience is older, white, and liberal or conservative, I don't think it really matters their political leaning. I think that we can have somebody who is in the audience who is needing to see a story that is not a story of white people on stage,
sure.
No matter their political leaning and no matter who's in the audience. It's just that representation is so important. I just wanted it to be said, because I think that's one of the things that is starting to shift in theater. It seems like a slow shift, but it's starting to shift. And it's one of the beautiful things about Kansas City as well, is that one of the beautiful things about why I came here is you've got large companies who are invested in doing new works, and then you've also got large companies companies that are growing that are invested in putting new faces on the stage that deserve to be there, like the Kansas City Black Repertory Theater and Tradewinds. And I think that that is a mark of a artist's city that is truly growing, and not necessarily just like an artist city that is supporting playwrights from within the city, which is also important, but it's supporting playwrights of all different types of representation and all different backgrounds within the city, and trying to avidly fight for growing a new type of theater scene.
Do you think that that the university is concerned about stuff like that? The UMKC Theater, is that a concern with them, that of doing productions that sort of allow those new voices or those new faces to be, or no, it's not really.
I think that the university wants to be more considerate always, and I don't think that our professors would fight against it.
Yeah,
but. I don't know that it's something that I've seen it specifically being fought for,
mm-hmm.
as strongly as they're trying to fight for their budget right now. And yeah.
And the budget, the proposed budget cuts, there was a Save UMKC Theater mm-hmm. Campaign in Kansas City. I don't know the status of that, but how has that pressure affected how you're going to be looking at this new year coming up? In teaching and, mm-hmm. and studying and mm-hmm. your academic year, what do you think is going to happen? Is there going to be a program?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There'll be a program. The worry is, what is the longevity of the program? Because the proposed cuts from the university side, they were saying, you know, we're just cutting X amount of money, you'll still be able to stay afloat, and we're just firing X amount of teachers, you'll still be able to, or X amount of professors, you'll still be able to stay afloat. But the fact of the matter is that, like I said, I went to ERTAS. When you go to an experience like ERTAS, you're comparing one school against so many other schools. So if UMKC doesn't have X amount of professors, or if it doesn't have X kind of budget, it'll slowly, the amount of students that are interested in it will slowly start to dwindle, and then the program will disappear into dust. And that would be a shame, because there are very, very strong professors there, and there is a vibrant community of workers here, and I want both to keep growing. Love to see both keep growing, and one seems to feed into the other.
Are you hearing murmurs from the students or from the community about about the possible implosion of the MFA program, or is there concern with the students, or no, not yet?
Sure.
Like we're saying, you know what this is.
There's a lot of questions, and I think it's something that, as a student, we don't necessarily know the answers to yet.
Sure.
And that this is a battle that is fought behind closed doors for a long time within the
as
administration, yes, and the professors. And I can feel their frustration.
Sure.
And that's the biggest thing that comes out of it, is I can feel their frustration, but I can also feel them fighting. And I can feel and listen to and hear and trust that they are fighting for the program, fighting like hell. And that's something that I really, really appreciate, because seeing that fight within the professors, it just regrounds how much they care about the program and about their students and about the passing on of the knowledge that they have and the growing of the artistry, which is to be determined. And thank you for inviting me on. So the play is Waiting for Lefty by Clifford Odets. It was not his first play, but it was produced by the Group Theater. And it is about cab workers in the 1930s going on a labor strike, or potentially going on a labor strike. So at the top we hear Fat, who is, I think he's the labor union president, trying to dissuade the workers from striking. And the play itself is a series of vignettes that jumps kind of around in time. So we start in the labor union area, and then we jump back a week, and then we sort of jump around a little bit until we come back to the labor union meeting. And at the end of the play, when it was originally produced, mm-hmm. it was so well received that there was just a standing ovation, that they were like clapping and roaring for this play. Because it hit home so personally. And that's one of my favorite parts about this play, is that it takes the art of storytelling, it takes the art of making something personal
uh-huh.
through the vignettes, and showcasing why a strike is important and how it affects families and people on a very personal level, rather than just, we're striking because we want higher wages, we're striking because of XYZ thing. Did you see the... that was it McDonald's Corporation that yeah right over there that put out a budget that said with a second job a McDonald's worker would be able to make enough money to support themselves if they lived frugally. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't seen
they
it.
Budgeted $20 for health insurance a month.
Oh
yeah,
you know, $20.
Yeah, and a car payment that was only $150 a month, and an insurance payment which was only $100 a month. It's incredible, right?
It's the McDonald's workers' fault that they're not living
yeah.
above. You know, it's their fault.
They're just being so decadent with their lives. I think it's incredible too. It's so incredible to me how little we value work, and I think that's what this play speaks to, is people who have been disvalued, who are reaching their breaking point.
And I think that the things like Waiting for Lefty,
mm-hmm.
So it premiered to general audiences in New York mm-hmm. City, is that what you were saying, that it got this great reception, or mm-hmm. were they going to union halls, or where was this being done?
I don't know if they took it to union halls. I don't actually know.
That'd be a great idea.
That would be a great idea, wouldn't it?
There's a growing movement for economic justice with mm-hmm. fast food workers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
it's huge with Stand Up KC.
Right.
Well, just organized, actually at the Buffalo Room, I served that evening at a meeting for discussing the strike
mm-hmm.
and raising wages, and it was just alive in the
yeah.
room, you
yeah.
know, the cheers and everything. It was took me back to, I was like, well, I wonder if this is what it was like to stand there and listen to folk stories during Waiting for Lefty when it first premiered. I don't know.
So
I think the stories of the folks from Stand Up KC were much more real than the stories from Waiting for Lefty. I mean, they're not... They're their personal stories, and I think it takes a certain amount of courage to stand up.
So how do we see more of the sort of theater, like Waiting for Lefty? A theater that sort of talks about working people and their issues. I think that why the reception, like that why there was this great reception to Waiting for Lefty back in the 1930s, like
mm-hmm.
you were saying, that the moment at that time was there was this civil unrest, and using that moment, do you think that it's possible that we could see more theater like that, that speaks to the issues that everyday people sort of deal with?
I think there are a lot of plays that are in all of the theaters in Kansas City that speak to everyday workers. It's a matter of whether or not everyday workers can pay for those shows, because theater comes at a hefty price sometimes. But then there are also things, beautiful things like that the Unicorn is doing, which are pay what you can nights. You know, I've gone to a show there and paid $5 or less because that's what I had in my pocket.
But very often it seems that people are very busy with either working or with you know, being on social media or with all of these other things, and not that they're not seeing the value of theater, but not knowing that they see the value in theater, never being exposed to these things in the first place.
Well, I sometimes liken it to taking like a really nice walk or a nice hike when you're not a every weekend hiker or something. That it's one of those things that you didn't know you were missing until you go and you do it, and you're like, oh, what? Why have I been avoiding this? This is beautiful. Yeah. Like, look at all the oxygen that's in my lungs right now. Look at all the pretty sights that I'm seeing.
Right.
For me, being from Seattle, it's like taking a walk in the rain. I'm just like washed clean of something, and I let myself be at the effect of something else rather than seeking out something to affect or trying to put myself into the world in some way. I just let myself be at the effect of somebody else's story. Absolutely something to not be forgotten and to put onto a list of, not necessarily a to-do list, but something to treat yourself to that will, I don't know, either depends on the play. It could incite you. It could make you laugh. Comedy can lift the burden of the world for a little while, or it can give you some catharsis, or it can just give you a perspective that you didn't have, or show a perspective that you do have that you feel is going unvoiced or unheard. I'm going to get all verklempt here in a second. I love theater. It's very unifying because you sit in a room with people and your attention, everybody's attention is on one story at one time together. And there is no other place to do that besides the theater. So it could die. And it could go away, or it could change. But I don't think it will. I just don't think it will, because it is such a unique experience.
There will be a screening of the film Atomic Homefront tonight at All Souls UU Church at 7 p.m. There will also be a discussion with the director and with the mother of a 16-year-old who died from cancer from nuclear waste in their St. Louis neighborhood. Any further info can be obtained from Anne at 913-271-7925. This message, a public service of 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Did you know that you can donate that unwanted car, boat, truck, or motorcycle to KKFI and get a tax deduction for your donation? Find out more by calling 866-628-2277.
And welcome back to the Heartland Labor Forum. I just wanted to let you guys know we've got the play that's coming up right now. We had a wonderful cast of directors and actors and sound people, and I just wanted to introduce them right now. The lady that you just heard was Amy Billroth McClurg, who was the director for Waiting for Lefty. She is an MFA student at the UMKC Theater Program, very active in community theater here in Kansas City. And then we also had, for sound engineer, we had Zach Pearson. And the cast, the performers were Marianne McKenzie, Michael Thayer, Megan Sells, Scott Stackhouse, Connor Woodson, Micah Thompson, Teray Watson, Tommy Gorbeek, and again, Amy Billroth McClurg. Stay tuned for Waiting for Lefty.
Waiting for Lefty by Clifford Odets. We open on a labor union party at the verge of their strike.
You're so wrong, I ain't laughing. Any guy with eyes to read knows it. Look at the textile strike. Out like lions and in like lambs. Take the San Francisco tie-up. Starvation and broken heads. The Steel Boys wanted to walk out too, but they changed their minds. It's the trend of the times, that's what that is. All we workers got a good man behind us now. He's top man of the country, looking out for our interests. The man in the White House is the one I'm referring to. That's why the time ain't ripe for a strike. He's working day and night.
For who?
For you. The records prove it. If this was the Hoover regime, would I say, don't go out, boys? Not on your tin type. But things is different now. You read the papers as well as me. You know it. And that's why I'm against the strike. Because we gotta stand behind the man who's standing behind us. The whole country
is on the blink.
Stand up and show yourself, you damn red. Be a man. Let's see what you look like. Yellow from the word go. Red and yellow makes a dirty color, boys. I got my eyes on 4 or 5 of them in the union here. What the hell'll they do for you? Pull you out and run away when trouble starts. Give those birds a chance, and they'll have your sisters and wives in the whorehouses, like they done in Russia. They'll tear Christ off his bleeding cross. They'll wreck your homes and throw your babies in the river. You think that's bunk? Read the papers. Now, listen. We can't stay here all night. I gave you the facts and the case. You boys got hot suppers to go to, and...
Have you? Where's Lefty?
That's what I want to know. Where's your pal Lefty? You elected him chairman. Where the hell did he disappear?
Come on, Lefty! Give us Lefty! Lefty!
What the hell is this, a circus?
Lefty.
You got the committee here. Lefty. This bunch of cowboys you elected.
His name's Joe.
Yeah, Joe. Stein, Mitchell, Phillips, Keller. It ain't my fault Lefty took a run-out powder. If you guys...
What's the committee say?
The committee!
Let's hear from the committee!
Yeah,
sure, let them talk. Let's hear what the Red Boys gotta say.
You boys know me. I ain't a Red Boy one bit. Here, I'm carrying a shrapnel that big I picked up in the war. And maybe I don't know when it rains. Don't tell me red. You know what we are? Black and blue from head to toes. But I guess anyone who says straight out he don't like it, he's a Red Boy to the leaders of the Union. What's this crap about going home to hot suppers? I'm asking to your faces how many got hot suppers to go home to. Anyone who's sure of his next meal, raise your hand. A certain gent sitting behind me can raise them both, but not in front here. And that's why we're talking strike, to get a living wage. I honest to God don't know, but he didn't take no run-out powder. Maybe a traffic jam got him, but he'll be here. But don't let this red stuff scare you, unless fighting for a living wage scares you. We gotta make up our minds. My wife Edna made up my mind last week, if you want the truth.
Lights fade from the labor union party into Joe and Edna's apartment last week.
Where's all the furniture, honey?
They took it away. No installments paid.
When?
3 o'clock.
They can't do that.
Can't? They did it.
Why, what, the Palookas? We paid 3/4.
The man said read the contract.
We must have signed a phony
contract.
It's a
regular contract and you signed it.
Don't be sour, Edna.
Oh, do it in the movies, Joe. They pay Clark Gable big money for it.
This is a hell of a house to come home to. Take my word.
Oh, take my word. Whose fault is it?
Must we start that stuff again?
Maybe you'd like to talk about books.
I'd like to slap you in the mouth.
No, you won't.
Jeez, Edna, you get me sore sometimes.
Oh, but just look at me. I'm laughing all over.
Don't insult me. Can I help it if times are bad? What the hell do you want me to do? Jump off a bridge or something?
Don't yell. I just put the kids to bed so they don't know they missed a meal. If I don't have Emmy's shoes sold tomorrow, she can't go to school. In the meantime, let her sleep.
Honey, I rode the wheels off the chariot today. I cruised around 5 hours without a call. It's conditions.
Tell it to the A&P.
I booked 2:20 on the clock. A lady with a dog was lit. She gave me a quarter tip by mistake. If you'd only listen to me, we're rolling in wealth.
Yeah? How much?
I had coffee and a beanery. $1.04.
The second month's rent is due tomorrow.
Don't look at me that way,
Edna. I'm not looking at you. I'm looking through you. Everything was gonna be ducky. A cottage by the waterfall, roses in Picardy. You're a 4-star bust. If you think I'm standing around in it for much longer, you're as crazy as a bedbug.
I'd get another job if I could. There's no work, you know it.
I only know we're at the bottom of the ocean.
What can I do?
Who's the man in the family, you or me?
That's no answer. Get down to the brass tacks. Christ, give me a break, too. A coffee and Java all day. I'm hungry too, babe. I'd work my fingers to the bone if I...
Oh, I'll open a can of salmon.
Not now. Tell me what to do.
I'm not God.
Jeez, I wish I was a kid again and didn't have to think about the next minute.
But you're not a kid, and you do have to think about the next minute. You got two blondie kids sleeping in the next room. They need food and clothes. I'm not mentioning anything else. But we're stalled like a flivver in the snow. For 5 years, I laid awake at night listening to my heart pound. For God's sakes, do something, Joe. Get wise. Maybe get your buddies together. Maybe go on strike for better money. Papa did it during the war, and they won out. I'm turning into a sour old nag.
Strikes don't work.
Oh, who told you?
Besides, that means not a nickel a week while we're out. And then, when it's over, they don't take you back.
Suppose they don't. What's to lose?
Well, we're averaging $6-7 a week now.
That just pays the rent.
That is something, Edna.
It isn't. They'll push you down to $3 and $4 a week before you know it. Then you'll say, that's something too.
There's too many cabs on the street. That's the whole damn trouble.
Let the company worry about that, you big fool. If their cabs didn't make a profit, they'd take them off the streets. Or maybe you think they're in the business just to pay Joe Mitchell's rent.
You don't know ABC, Edna.
I know this. Your boss is making suckers out of you boys every minute. Yes, and suckers out of all the wives and poor innocent kids who will grow up with crooked spines and sick bones. Sure, I see it in the papers how good orange juice is for kids, but damn it, our kids get colds one on top of the other. They look like little ghosts. Betty never saw a grapefruit. I took her to the store last week and she pointed at a stack of grapefruits. What's that? She said. My God, Joe, the world is supposed to be for all of us.
You'll wake them up.
I don't care, as long as maybe I can wake you up.
Don't insult me. One man can't make a strike.
Who says one? You got hundreds in your rotten union.
The union ain't rotten.
No? Then what are they doing? Collecting dues and patting your back?
They're making plans.
What kind?
They don't tell us.
It's too damn bad about you. They don't tell little Joey what's happening in his bitsy union. What do you think it is, a ping pong game?
You know they're racketeers. The guys at the top would shoot you for a nickel.
Why do you stand for that stuff?
Don't you want to see me alive?
No! I don't think I do, Joe. Not if you can lift a finger to do something about it and don't. No, I don't care.
Honey, you don't understand.
Any other hacky that won't fight, let him be ground to hamburger.
It's one thing.
Take your hand away. Only they don't grind me to little pieces. I got different plans.
Where are you going?
None of your business.
What's up your sleeve?
My arm be up my sleeve, darling, if I had a sleeve to wear.
Tell me.
What are you doing?
Tell me.
Tell you what?
Where are you going?
Don't you remember my old boyfriend?
Who?
Bud Haas. He's still got my picture in his wallet. He earns a living.
What the hell are you talking about?
I heard worse than what I'm talking about.
Have you seen Bud since we got married?
Maybe.
If I thought...
See much? Listen, boyfriend. If you think I won't do this, it just means you can't see straight.
Stop talking, bull!
This isn't 5 years ago,
Joe. You mean you'd leave the kids and me?
I'd leave you like a shot.
No!
Yes.
Well, I guess I ain't got a leg to stand on.
No?
No, you lousy tart, no. Get the hell out of here. Go pick up the bull thrower on the corner and stop at some cushy hotel downtown. He's probably been coming here every morning and laying with you while I hack my guts out.
Oh, you're crawling like a worm.
You'll be crawling in a minute.
You don't scare me that much.
That is what I slave for.
Tell it to your boss.
He don't give a damn for you or me.
That's what I say.
Don't change the subject.
This is the subject. This is the exact subject. Your boss makes it the subject. I never saw him in my life, but he's putting ideas in my head a mile a minute. He's giving your kids that fancy disease called rickets. He's making a jellyfish out of you and putting wrinkles on my face. This is the subject every inch of the way. He's throwing me into Bud Haas's lap. When the hell are you gonna get wise?
I'm not so dumb as you think. But you're talking like a red.
I don't know what that means, but when a man knocks you down, you get up and kiss his fist, you gutless piece of baloney.
One man can't start a strike!
I don't say one man, I say 100, 1,000, 1,000,000! But start in your own union. Get those hack boys together. Sweep out those racketeers like a pile of dirt. Stand up like men and fight for the crying kids and the wives, goddammit. I'm tired of slavery and sleepless nights.
Sure, sure.
Yes, get brass toes on your shoes and nowhere to kick.
Listen, Edna, I'm going down to 174th Street to look up Lefty Costello. Lefty was saying the other day, hey, how about this Hass guy?
Hey, get out of here.
I'll be back.
Fade to another poor apartment, open with a girl and a brother. Florence is waiting for Sid to take her to a dance.
I got a right to have something out of life. I don't smoke, I don't drink, so if Sid wants to take me to a dance, I'll go. Maybe if you was in love, you wouldn't talk so hard.
I'm saying it for your good.
Don't be so good to me.
Mom's sick in bed and you'll be worrying her to the grave. She don't want that boy hanging around the house, and she don't want you meeting him in Crotona Park.
I'll meet him anytime I like.
If you do, yours truly will take care of it in his own way, with just one hand, too.
Why are you all so set against him?
Mom told you 10 times it ain't him. It's that he ain't got nothing. Sure, we know he's serious, that he's stuck on you, but that don't cut no ice.
Taxi drivers used to make good money.
Today they're making $5 and $6 a week. Maybe you want to raise a family on that. Then you'll be back here living with us again, and I'll be supporting 2 families in 1. Well, over my dead body.
Irv, I don't care. I love him.
You're a little kid with half-baked ideas.
I stand there behind the counter the whole day. I think about him.
If you thought more about Mom, it would be better.
Don't I take care of her every night when I come home? Don't I cook supper and iron your shirts? And you can be a pain in the neck, too.
God,
don't try to shut me up. I bring a few dollars in the house, too. Don't you see? I want something else out of life. Sure, I want romance, love, babies. I want everything in life I can get.
You take care of Mom, and you watch your step.
And if I don't?
Yours truly will watch it for you.
You can talk that way to a girl.
I'll talk that way to your boyfriend, too, and it won't be with words. Flory, if you had a pair of eyes, you'd see it's for your own good we're talking. This ain't no time to get married. Maybe later.
Maybe later never comes for me, though. Why don't we send Mom to a hospital? She can die in peace there instead of looking at the clock on the mantelpiece all day.
That needs money, which we don't have.
Oh, money.
Don't change the subject.
This is the subject.
You gonna stop seeing him? Jesus. Kitty, I remember when you were a baby with curls down your back. Now I gotta stand here yelling at you like this.
I'll talk to him, Irv.
When?
I asked him to come here tonight. We'll talk it over.
Don't get soft with him. Nowadays is no time to be soft. You gotta be hard as a rock or go under.
Yeah, found that out. There's the bell. Take the egg off the stove I boiled for Mom. Leave us alone, Irv.
Hello, Flory.
Hello, honey. Oh, you look tired.
Nah, I just need a shave.
Well, draw your chair up to the fire, and I'll ring for a brandy and soda, like in the movies.
If this was the movies, I'd bring a big bunch of roses.
How big?
50 or 60 dozen. The kind with long, long stems. Big as that.
You dope.
Your Paris gown is beautiful.
Yes, Percy. Velvet panels are coming back again. Madame Lafarge told me today that Queen Marie herself designed it.
Gee.
Every princess in the Balkans is wearing one just like this.
Hold it. Let me take a picture. You look tired, Flory.
Nah, I just need a shave.
You worried about your mother?
No.
And what's on your mind?
The French and Indian War.
What's on your mind?
I got us on my mind, Sid. Night and day, Sid.
I smacked a beer truck today. Did I get hell? I was driving along thinking of us, too. You don't have to say it. I know what's on your mind. I'm rat poison around
not
here.
Not to me.
I know to who, and I know why. I don't blame them. We're engaged now for 3 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
My brother Sam joined the Navy this morning. Get a break that way. They'll send him down to Cuba. You don't know from nothing, dumb basketball player.
Don't you do that.
Don't you worry. I'm not the kind that runs away. But I'm so tired of being a dog. Baby, I could choke. I don't even have to ask what's going on in your mind. I know from the word go, because I'm thinking the same things, too.
It's a yes or a no. Nothing in between.
The answer is no. A big electric sign looking down on Broadway.
We wanted to have kids.
But that sort of life ain't for the dogs, which is us. Christ, baby, I get like thunder in my chest when we're together. If we went off together, I can maybe look the world straight in the face, spit in its eye like a man should do. God damn it, it's trying to be a man on the earth, too, in life together.
But something wants us to be lonely like that, crawling alone in the dark. Or they want us trapped.
Sure, the big shot money men want us like that.
Highly insulting us.
Keeping us in the dark about what is wrong with us in the money sense. They got the power and mean to be damn sure they keep it. They know if they give in just an inch, all the dogs like us will be down on them together. An ocean knocking them to hell and back, and each singing cuckoo with stars coming from their noses and ears. I'm not raving, Flory.
I know you're not. I know.
I don't have the words to tell you what I feel. I never finished school.
I know.
But it's relative, like the professors say. We work like hell to send him to college. My kid brother, Sam, I mean. And look what he done. Joined the Navy. The damn fool don't see the cards is stacked for all of us. The money man dealing himself a hot royal flush, then giving you and me a phony hand like a pair of tens or something, and then keeping on losing the pots because the cards stacked against you. Then he says, what's the matter? You can't win? No stuff on the ball, he says to you. And kids like my brother believe it because they don't know better. For all their education, they don't know from nothing. But wait a minute. Don't he come around and say to you, this millionaire with a jazz band, listen, Sam, or Sid, or what's your name? You're no good, but here's a chance. The whole world to know who you are. Yes, sir, he says, get up on that ship and fight those bastards who's making the world a lousy place to live in. Take this gun. Kill the slobs like a real hero, he says. A real American. Be a hero. And the guy you're looking at, a real louse just like you, because they don't let him catch more than a pair of tens, too. On that foreign shawl, he's guilty. He's a guy like me and Sam, who a guy who wants his baby like you and a hot sun on his face. They'll teach Sam to point the gun the wrong way, the dumb basketball player.
I got a lump in my throat, honey.
You and me. We never even had a room to sit in somewhere.
The park was nice.
In winter? The hallways. I'm glad we never got together. This way we don't know what we missed.
Sid, I'll go with you. We'll get a room somewhere.
Nah, they're right. If we can't climb higher than this, we better stay apart.
I swear to God, I wouldn't care.
You would. You would. In a year, 2 years, you'd curse a day. I've seen it happen.
Oh, Sid.
Sure, I know. We got the blues, baby. The 1935 blues. I'm talking this way because I love you. If I didn't, I wouldn't care.
We'll work together. We'll...
How about the backwash? Your family needs your $9. My family...
I don't care for them.
You're making it up, Flory. Little Flory, canary in a cage.
Don't make fun of me.
I'm not, baby.
Yes, you're laughing at me.
I'm not. Dance with me. Hello?
Hello.
Goodbye, babe. Did you ever see my Pat Rooney imitation? Don't you like it?
No. Fade back to the labor meeting, where the head of the union has brought a representative up on stage.
You don't know how we work for you. Shooting off your mouth won't help. Hell, don't you guys ever look at the records like me? Look in your own industry. See what happened when the hacks walked in Philly 3 months ago. Where's Philly? 1,000 miles away? An hour's ride on the train.
2 hours.
2 hours? What the hell's the difference? Let's hear from someone who's got the practical experience to back him up. Fellers, there's a man here who's seen the whole parade in Philly, walked out with his pals, got knocked down like the rest, and blacklisted after they went back. That's why he's here. He's got a mighty interesting word to say. Tom Clayton. Fellers, This is a man with practical strike experience. Tom Clayton from little old Philly.
Fellas, I don't mind your booing if I thought it would help us hacks get better living conditions. I'd let you walk all over me, cut me into little pieces. I'm one of you myself. But what I want to say is that Harry Fat's right. I've only been working here in the big town 5 weeks, but I know conditions just like the rest of you. You know how it is. Don't take long to feel the sore spots, no matter where you park.
Sit down.
But Fat's right. Our officer is right. The time ain't ripe. Like a fruit don't fall off the tree until it's ripe.
Sit down, you fruit.
Take care of him, boys.
No one takes care of me. Where the hell did you pick up that name? Clayton. This rat's name is Clancy, from the old Clancy's, way back. Fruit? I almost wet myself listening to that one.
This ain't a barn. What the hell do you think you're doing here?
Exposing a rat?
You can't get away with this. Throw him the hell out of here.
Try it yourself. When this bozo throws that slop around, you know who he is? That's a company spy.
Who the hell are you to make...
I paid dues in this union for 4 years. That's who's me. I got it right. And this pussy-footed brat ain't coming in here with ideas like that. You know his record. Let me say it out loud.
You'll prove all this or I'll bust you in every hack outfit
right
in town.
I got it right. Look at him. He don't say boo.
You're a liar, and I've never seen you before in my life.
Boys, he spent 2 years in the coal fields breaking up any organization he touched. 50 guys he put in jail. He's ranged up and down the East Coast, shipping, textiles, steel. He's been in everything you can name. Right now...
That's a lie!
Right now, he's working for that Bergman outfit on Columbus Circle, who furnishes rats for any outfit in the country before, during, and after strikes.
He's trying to break up the meeting, fellas!
Todd, we won't search him for credentials!
I got nothing to hide! Your own secretary knows I'm straight!
Yeah, sure, boys! You know who this son of a bitch is?
I've never seen you before in my life!
Boys, I slept with him in the same bed 16 years! He's my own lousy brother!
Is this true?
Scram before I break your neck! Remember his map? You can't change that, Clancy! Too bad you didn't know about this, Fat. The Clancy family tree is bare nuts.
Ladies and gentlemen, and don't let anyone tell you we ain't got some ladies in this sea of upturned faces. Only they're wearing pants. Well, maybe I don't know a thing. Maybe I fell out of the cradle when I was a kid and ain't been right since. You can't tell.
Sit down, cockeye.
Well, who's paying you for those remarks, buddy? Moscow Gold? Well, maybe I got a glass eye, but it come from working in a factory at the age of 11. They hooked it out because they didn't have a shield on the works. But I wear it like a medal because it tells the world where I belong. Deep down in the working class.
Yeah.
We had delegates in the union there. All kinds of secretaries and treasurers. Walking delegates, but not with blisters on their feet. Oh, no. On their fat little ass from sitting on cushions and raking in Mazuma. Ah, sit down, fat ass. I'm just saying that about unions in general. I know it ain't true here. Why, no, our officers is all aces. Why, I seen our own Secretary Fat walk out of his own way not to step on a cockroach. No, boys, don't think...
You're out of order.
Am I out of order?
No.
Yes, our officers is all aces. But I'm a member here, and no experience in Philly either. Today, I couldn't wear my union button. The damnedest thing happened. When I take the old coat off the wall, I see she's smoking. I'm a son of a gun if the old union button isn't on fire. Yep, the old celluloid was making the most god-awful stink. Landlady come up and give me hell. You know what happened? That old union button just blushed itself to death. Ashamed. Can you beat it?
Sit down, Keller. Nobody's interested.
Oh, yes, they are.
Sit down like I told you.
Now, what's the answer, boys? The answer is, if we're Reds because we want to strike... Then we take over their salute, too. Know how they do it? What is it? An uppercut. The good old uppercut to the chin. Hell, some of us boys ain't even got a shirt to our backs. What's the boss class trying to do? Make a nudist colony out of us? Well, no, don't laugh. Now, nothing's funny. This is your life and mine. It's skull and bones every inch of the road. Christ, we're dying by inches. For what? For the debutantes to have their sweet coming-out parties in the Ritz. Papa's got a daughter. She's got to get her picture in the papers. Christ, they make them with our blood, Joe said it. Slow death or fight. Well, it's war. You, Edna, God love your mouth. Sid and Flory, the other boys, fight with us for right. It's war. Working class, unite and fight. Tear down the slaughter because of our own lives. Let freedom really ring. These slick slobs stand here telling us about boogeymen? That's a new one for the kids. The Reds is boogeymen. But the man who got me food in 1932, he called me comrade. The one who picked me up where I bled, he called me comrade too. What are we waiting for? Don't wait for Lefty. He might never come. Every minute
boys,
we just...
Boys, they just found Lefty.
What?
They found Lefty.
Where?
Right behind the car barns with a bullet in his head.
Hear it, boys? Hear it? Hell, listen to me. Coast to coast. Hello, America. Hello. We're storm birds of the working class. Workers of the world. Our bones and blood. And when we die, they'll know what we did to make a new world. Christ, cut us up to little pieces. We'll die for what is right. Put fruit trees where our ashes are. Well, what's the answer?
Strike!
Louder!
Strike!
Again!
Strike! Strike! Strike!
Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Good evening, Kansas City, on this very, very hot Thursday. This is Angie Williams from the law offices of Angela L. Williams with another edition of Know Your Rights. So I wanted to talk a little bit about voting, specifically voting in Missouri, because we have a election coming up here on August the 8th, I believe, and some new rules have gone into effect as of June 1st of this year related to voter IDs in Missouri. So I jumped on the Department of State or the Secretary of State website for Missouri to check some of this stuff out. So this is what the deal is related to IDs. As of June 1st, 2017, you have to provide some sort of authorized ID in order to be able to vote at your polling places in most cases. So you have an option one, which is a Missouri-issued driver's license or a non-driver's ID, a passport, or some sort of military ID. There's a second option that you can provide a secondary form of identification like a paycheck or a bank statement or a student ID or something like that. And then they have you sign a statement like an affidavit of identity there at your polling place. So you present your, let's say, student ID, and then you sign the statement that swears under penalty of perjury that you are who you're saying you are. If you show up to your polling place now and you don't have a proper form of ID, but you are in fact registered to vote and the poll workers can find you on the register, they're going to allow you now to cast a provisional ballot, in which case then they'll deal with whether or not it should be allowed to actually be cast later. So there's some more details on this. If you're interested, I would encourage you to check out the Secretary of State website, which is www.sos.mo.gov. And then there's one of the little buttons that talks about voting, and you can go on that and check out the new IDs and the new rules. On that same topic, the Secretary of State is having a number of different sort of town hall meeting, so to speak, about the new Voter ID Act and about voting in general. There's also a list of all the places. There's a whole bunch all over Missouri. There's one in Kansas City on the 25th, and you can jump online to check out that. So right now, the IDs that are acceptable, the most one that you're not going to have to sign an affidavit, are the driver's license, a non-driver's ID, a passport, or a military ID. Then the secondary form of ID, and this is something that you will have to sign an affidavit of identity, might be like your voter registration card that you get in the mail telling you when to vote, a student ID from a Missouri university or vocational technical school, a utility bill, a bank statement, a government check, a paycheck, or any other government-type document that shows your name and your address. With one of those, you're going to have to sign something. Also, on the Missouri Department of State website is information on how to register to vote if you haven't voted. I'm not sure that you'd be able to vote in the August 8th election if you just are registering now. But if you are not registered, I would highly encourage you to vote, because this next term of elections for offices, both in Missouri and in the national level, are going to be extremely important. And if you are not registered, you're not going to get to participate in that. I wanted to also talk about two particular things, if you are registered, that are going to be on the ballot in Kansas City that listeners of this program might be excited about. The biggest one is question three, which is the city of Kansas City. The question is, shall the city of Kansas City enact now a municipal minimum wage of $10 per hour on August 24th and increase annually by $1.25 per hour beginning September 1st, 2019, up to a maximum of $15 an hour? So that might be something that people here in Kansas City might be very interested in. It is a very short ballot, it looks like. There's just a few local municipal questions. There's something about the streetcar, actually two things about the streetcar, and then this this vote for minimum wage. So on that note, August 8th, you can also get on the Missouri Department of Secretary of State website and look into how to register. You can look at the Board of Elections website, the Kansas City Board of Elections website, and find out where your polling place is. You can also learn about absentee ballots on the Kansas City Board of Elections and find out just a bunch of useful information about voting. It has never been more important than it is right now to make sure that you are at the table. Otherwise, you are going to be on the menu. That is all I have to talk about today. Please stay safe outside in this tremendous heat. If you are someone who works outside, make sure you drink a lot of water. And that's all I have. Stay safe, Kansas City.
And amen to that, all of that. All right. Thank you so much, Angie. Let's see. We got the calendar. On Saturday, July 22nd from 12 to 3, it is the Anti-Right to Work Campaign Day of Action, and will there be clean up at hotspots? And it's going to be at the Boone County Fairgrounds, West Jones Street in Sturgeon, Missouri. And it says they will meet at the We Are Missouri booth at the fairground, and you will receive a campaign update and some training before canvassing for signatures in small groups of volunteers to collect signatures to repeal Right to Work. That's Saturday, July 22nd. There's going to be another one more locally in St. Joseph for on the same day, 10 a.m. to 1. Saturday, July 22nd, will be another Anti-Right to Work Campaign Day of Action. And this time it'll be at the Carpenters Local 110. That's 310 Belt Highway in St. Joe. And you can RSVP if you're interested for either location at wearemo.org/day of action. Lastly, on Saturday, July 9th at 6 p.m. is the Cross Border Network annual dinner with the band Mundo Nuovo. And you can check out the Heartland Labor Forum schedule on the web at heartlandlaborforum.org, where you can also listen to today's show. I'll be putting that up here very shortly. Alrighty, that has been the show tonight. Next week, Judy will be back at last, and our stories will be a plan to put the brakes on runway inequality and countering hate without feeding the trolls. I am Jen Zaman. I have been your engineer and your host this evening.
You have been listening to the Heartland Labor Forum, radio that talks back to the boss. We are sponsored by the Institute for Labor Studies at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. Our volunteers come from a wide variety of workplaces and unions. We are supported by many Kansas City area unions and the AFL-CIO. To talk back to us, to volunteer, or to let us know about news or events, call us at 816-235-1470 or go to www.heartlandlaborforum.org. The views expressed on the Heartland Labor Forum are ours and not necessarily those of KKFI, UMKC, or any of the unions involved. Tune in every Thursday evening to the Heartland Labor Forum at 6 o'clock or to our Friday morning rebroadcast at 5 o'clock right here on 90.1 FM, KKFI.